Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show and our discussion with our guest, Sandy Waltman from the Willowbrook Wildlife Center. I do want to let everyone know that the phone lines will not be open today. This is a pre-recorded show when you're hearing it, but we will be speaking with staff from rehabilitation centers again in future shows, and there will be chances for you to ask questions in the future shows. We were talking about baby cottontail rabbits, and if you want to see photographs of the animals that we're speaking about today, make sure you go to my website, wildaboutpets.net, and you can get there by pressing the purple Look While You Listen button here on Talk Zone, or just, you know, go to my website and go to the Look While You Listen feature, and you can see the pictures of who we're talking about. So I actually was working at another nature center, Sandy, in Highland Park when I opened up the, you know, the center for the morning, and on the doorstep I found a box with 9 basically day-old baby cottontail rabbits. And I actually did, you know, work around the clock on my own, feeding them and trying to keep them alive, and I was able to release them. But I'm told that it is very difficult for most people to actually keep little cottontail rabbits alive on their own. Can you speak towards that at all?
Sure. Cottontail rabbits have a very high stress level. They're a prey species at the bottom of the totem pole. But in captivity, they just don't respond very well to it. In the wild, they have about a 50% chance of making it within their first 6 or 8 weeks of life. In captivity, for wildlife rehabilitators, it's often much less with that. They're very delicate animals. You can get them to suckle from a nipple, but it can take very long time to feed them because their stomach capacities are so large. And for large wildlife rehabilitation centers that maybe have 50, 60 cottontails on hand at a time, taking a half hour a cottontail to feed them, that could be very difficult. Here at Willowbrook, we actually tube feed our cottontail rabbits. Many rehabilitation centers don't like to do that because there is always the chance of mistubing them and killing them in your hand when you're actually trying to help that animal. So Willowbrook does everything it can to get these animals back out into the wild. So we do not mix litters. They're kept as family units. They're actually in a different building than our main building where it's much quieter and they have a little bit more privacy and they're on their own. They're handled as little as possible. They're kept dark. The other thing people don't realize is that they're released and on their own at a very young age. They're only about 4 to 5 inches long when they're independent of mom and they're out of the nest and they're gone. So sometimes rehabilitators actually keep them a little longer than they should because they think that they look small and need to be in captivity longer, and they can lose them then too.
And about rabbits, do I perceive correctly that the first thing someone should do if they find the rabbits is probably call you and tell you where they found them and kind of what they look like before they even bring them in?
Yes, when people find a cottontail nest, we say just leave them there, give us a call, tell us what's going on. If they find one even out of the nest, again, call, describe it over the phone. How big is it? Is it the palm of your hand? Is it bigger than your hand? Because, again, they look very small when they leave the nest, but, again, they're independent of mom and they're on their own. If they do pick them up and they bring them in, again, we're going to assess it and then talk to the people, say, yes, he needs to stay. Please put him back in the nest, or he's on his own. Just release him back in your bushes where you found him. So there are many times that people bring in cottontails, and we're teaching them the history of these animals and the life stage of this animal and sending them back home with the people instead of leaving it here at Willowbrook.
Thank you for that. There's also a photograph here, number 7, that shows a group of coyote pups. Can you tell us a little bit about these?
Coyotes have increased greatly in numbers in DuPage County and Northern Illinois in general in the last several years. So the chances of people coming across injured adult coyotes as well as injured coyote puppies or a litter of puppies that may have been moved into an uncommon place to be denned. These coyote pups were actually found underneath somebody's deck. The mother had been disturbed from her original nest and moved them to her next safest place, what she thought was underneath the deck. the homeowner didn't want them there, obviously, so was able to get them out from underneath the deck. We did try reuniting these babies with mom, but there was just too much disturbance within the subdivision. Mom didn't feel comfortable coming back for them. But again, we're going to try and do that, is reunite them with their mother if we're able to. But more and more people are coming across coyote pup dens, with, I don't want to say within their yard, but within their subdivisions, within areas closer towards homes.
What happens then, or what happened with these particular pups, if you can say?
Right. These particular pups, we are able to raise them. They're fairly easy to raise. Again, we try to limit the amount of exposure they have with people to keep them afraid of people and not habituated. These guys, because they are predators, when they get a little bit older, we do offer them live rats and mice for practice of feeding and practice hunting. These guys aren't independent of their parents till early fall, so end of August, early September, and they're born April, May. So we have them the whole summer. It's a long commitment with these guys. And then they're released early fall again in the forest preserves. And when you have a litter this large, we would disperse them throughout different forest preserves that provide proper habitat for them.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Later on, we will talk about some of your releases, and I know we have some photographs. Let's move into a little bit about some of the animals that come in that you can tell, obviously, either have some injuries, or it's not an issue of being abandoned or orphaned. They've got some problems. For example, we have a photograph number 8 that shows a great horned owl entangled in some kind of netting. What happens when you get these kind of...
Most of the animals that Willowbrook receives are impacted by man in some way. They're hit by cars, they hit windows, they hit buildings, etc. This particular great horned owl was entangled in a soccer net. With the increase in popularity of soccer the last several years, we've seen more and more of these cases where we have typically they're great horned owls or cottontails that are being tangled in the nets. We believe the cottontails are foraging in the soccer fields. It's a nice green open field for them. The great horned owl comes down to prey upon the cottontail and gets tangled in the net in the process, because it does take a lot of time for these soccer organizations to set up and take down these nets, which is what we're encouraging them to do instead of leaving them up 24 hours a day. So the owl becomes entangled. The more he struggles, the more tangled he gets. If he doesn't get attacked by another predator, whether it be a coyote or a dog or a raccoon, many times people then are walking by or going to use the soccer field, find them, and they're so entangled they have to cut the soccer net then to free the animal. And depending on the injuries that the animal sustained struggling to try and get out, they can or cannot get released. They often have shoulder injuries, sometimes nerve injuries. This particular great horned owl was released. He had a slight wing injury of that left wing, but it wasn't so bad that prevented him from being released. He was rehabilitated.
In a case like this, I figure that someone from the public probably saw this owl, but do you know if it was brought in by a professional, or did someone just try and bring this owl in?
I don't know about this particular owl, but again, the public does bring these in. It's something that we would tell them, throw a heavy towel over this bird. We'd educate them about the use of their talons or those claws on his feet.
Yes.
That is his first form of defense, so be careful of those. And their beak, owls do bite. They're more likely to bite than a hawk. But the public does. It's amazing. They successfully are able to bring these in. And again, Willowbrook isn't able to provide a rescue service like this. We receive approximately 8,000 animals a year, and that's with the public bringing animals to us. But we do have a very good relationship with the police officers in the area and the animal control officers in the area to help us with the residents to bring them in safely, as well as a great staff that can safely train people over the phone how to do this without anybody getting hurt.
Okay. So to clarify, you do not go and pick up animals that people find to
Correct.
Bring in.
Correct.
Are you saying, though, that someone could call their police, their local police, and say, I have this animal, can you come and get it for me and take it to Willowbrook?
Every community is different. Some of the communities do offer their community service officers or police departments to go and help rescue an animal and transport it, and other communities do not offer that service. So it depends on your individual town.
Okay, well, thank you. No doubt we talked about some animals getting caught. Here we also have a fox snake trapped in netting, and that's picture number 9 for anyone who wants to look at that.
This netting has become very popular the last several years. This is actually the plastic landscape netting that contractors and homeowners are putting down to get your lawn started. It's usually entwined with hay or straw and seed, grass seed. And it's not designed to be pulled out or to be removed. It's designed to stay there in the ground. The soil just kind of takes over it. But what we find is, especially along the edges of that netting, we're having animals get caught up in it. This is a fox snake that was just slithering along, going through the grass, and got tangled in this netting. This was a few years ago, and we actually received 3 fox snakes in 1 year tangled in the same type of netting.
Hmm. Well, if as you said, this netting is very prevalent. Are there are many other animals that also become entangled in this type of landscaping netting?
We're seeing sometimes waterfowl that get their feet caught in it. Every now and then a small songbird, cottontails, but many times it's the snakes. And there is an alternative for this netting. They do make a biodegradable netting that will break down in the environment. It's just a little more expensive, but that's what we're recommending people to use if they're going that option where they're putting some type of netting down to try and establish a lawn.
And if people wanted to know more about that, can they call Willowbrook Wildlife Center and get more specifics on this type of product?
Yeah, and more the tree nurseries and lawn nurseries as well provide that as an option. Again, it's just more expensive, so if you're doing a large area, people are, you know, are weighing should we do it or not. But we still recommend the netting that is biodegradable.
And I suppose if more and more people talk about this and ask the landscapers to use something else, they can help out.
Definitely.
Here we also have a gull who appears to have a fish hook embedded in it. Does this happen often? Do you see a lot of animals that are injured by projectile-type items?
Yes. If we just consider this trash, and if there's trash out there and the animal can get hurt in it, they find a way to do it. We see a lot of animals injured in fishing line. Fish hooks. We just really try to create responsible fishermen. We're not against fishing by all means, but just for fishermen to clean up their line, clean up hooks, not just cut hooks. But the fish hooks will often become embedded in their beaks. Sometimes it gets caught on a wing. The fishing line often entangles around the feet of ducks and Canada geese. And then as it gets tighter and tighter and tighter, they start losing their blood flow in their feet, and oftentimes those feet eventually fall off, and the animals then they're at a loss because they're not able to swim, they're not able to fly and land properly. So it is a very big concern everywhere, just not in Illinois at all, but around the country for fishing line that's been disposed of improperly.
Mm-hmm. So these animals come in, and I assume you have a staff that's trained in all sorts of different medical procedures, like removing embedded items in the animals. What are some of the other medical treatments that you actually wind up undertaking or providing for the animals?
Well, Willowbrook actually does have several full-time wildlife keepers on staff, as well as we're lucky enough to have a full-time wildlife veterinarian. So there's nothing really Willowbrook can't do in terms of providing medical care with surgeries and medications and wing wraps and foot wraps. If there is something that's a little bit more difficult or we're unsure of, we're always contacting other facilities. We work very closely with Brookfield Zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo, getting medical advice from them, as well as the University of Illinois. If there's a difficult orthopedic case, we very well may send it down to another facility where they may have more equipment to be able to do some of those real difficult procedures. But again, we're very lucky to be able to have a veterinarian here on staff 40 hours a week.
Yeah, so we have a photograph of one of your staff examining a black-crowned night heron. You all might want to see that picture. And again, if you go to wildaboutpets.net on the Look While You Listen feature, you will be able to see these photographs. We're looking at photograph number 12. And so we see, was this one of your vets, or this is, no, this is one of your staff, correct?
This was one of our veterinarians, correct.
Okay, all righty. So every animal is examined, first of all, to determine what is wrong.
Correct. And this particular black crown night heron, if you look at picture number 12, you can see he's not really using that right foot very well. So in this particular instance, they would feel it to see if they feel fractures or any type of injuries. We do have an x-ray machine on site, so we can take x-rays and see what type of fracture it is, how close to a joint it may be, if it's something that's fixable or not. And then if you look in picture 13, it's the same bird that has his foot wrapped. What's a little different when you're working with wildlife is that there aren't necessarily splints for a black crown night heron as there would be for splints for a human.
Right.
So it's a lot of creativity. It's a lot of adapting to different situations. Animals don't typically like that wrap on their body, so they may be picking at it, thrashing about. They don't always like to stand when they have something like that on their body. It's a matter of getting used to. They can't speak like any animal to say that it's on too tight,
right,
or bothering them. So it's a lot of adapting. It's a lot of constant monitoring to be sure that the animal is adjusting well to whether it be a foot wrap, a wing wrap, the animal's eating normally, acting normally. Because if you fix a fractured foot, that's great, but if your animal never eats because it's bothering them, what's the point of fixing the broken foot if he's going to starve to death? So it's a big team effort between your veterinarian fixing, setting the fracture correctly, the keepers monitoring the well-being of the bird while it's in captivity, and your volunteers helping to care for the animals as well.
It is time for us to take another short break. Please stay with us. We've got lots more stories about how to help animals in Willowbrook Wildlife Center. We'll be right back after this.